Welcome back for another episode of Young, Dumb, and Righteous, starring your hosts, Philip and Nick. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about the valleys of your faith walk. And when you begin to walk in the Spirit, it's not always going to be the highs. You're going to have to deal with the lows as well. But always remember that the God of the mountains is also the God of the valleys. Today we're going to be open up in Isaiah, and that's going to be chapter 40, verse 31. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So what he's saying is, when you've already came into the Spirit, you're going to have these moments where you feel far away. You're going to have the moments where you feel like you're not as connected with God as how you used to be. But it says, those who wait will renew their strength. And I think about in my highest moments of me walking with the Spirit, how on fire I felt and how just protected I felt by the Spirit. And it's like as we fall into sin or as time goes, we fall away from the Spirit. And it feels like he's not next to us when he's really just behind us. We've turned our back on him. So what faith is believing that there's a greater purpose beyond what we can understand. And it's hard to see it in the moment because as human beings, it's hard to understand things we can't see. And I know for me personally, you know, I'll go into a slump where my mood just isn't as bright as it normally is, or I'm not as flamboyant and outgoing as I normally am. It feels like he's not listening to my prayers, but it's always a test, and it's always preceding to something great that's going to happen. And in that hope, the Bible says that it is written that we are saved in that hope. It's not always our exact circumstances that are happening at this moment, but because of the hope that we have in Jesus, we're able to believe and trust that there's greater coming. And it's like we've previously talked about, it's hard to enjoy the highs when you've never experienced a low. So appreciate the lows and appreciate those moments, and knowing that no matter how your emotions feel, no matter what situation you think you're in, he is right there. And it's such a thing to give praise about, because it's like no matter how bad you've messed up, he's still right there and he's still waiting for you to ask to be reinstated, and he does it in an instant.
Yeah, you have to, at your lowest of lows and when you're feeling the furthest away from God, you have to understand no matter what you're going through, he can take you out of that. There's nothing that God can put on you that he can't take you out of, that he can't help you with. There's nothing, no temptation in the world that can truly and irrevocably take you out of the Lord's hands. As long as you maintain your faith, you're only one breath away, you're only one prayer away, you're only one step away from being back in God's house, from being away from that temptation, from being out of those hard times. You know, I think this really resonates. It's kind of not necessarily for this podcast in general. It's not for the veteran Christians, but for the new Christians, the newly saved people. Because your first little bit of walk with Christ is going to be so easy, because God's just so happy to have you in his house. He's just going to be hitting you left and right with blessings and things that just like you're just like, wow, I wish I would have known to come to this sooner. But that first low, it's like, God, where did you go? It's that first hit of depression that you haven't had in 6 months or 3 months. And you're like, God, what happened? Where did you go? Why am I feeling like this again? I thought you were going to take this away from me. And it's not that God has gone anywhere. God's wanting you to lean just a little bit further, because as you continue to get these blessings, you don't realize it, but you're taking steps away from God. You're like, well, I can miss a prayer tonight. I can stop reading my Bible every so often. I can miss a church service here and there. You know, well, cuss words aren't that bad. I can do this, or I can drink every so often. you know, I can still get high every night as long as I'm, you know, doing all of these things. And it's just those little steps that just lead you a little bit further away from God, that God finally has to reel you back in. He has to allow those things into your life. And all he's doing is testing your faith. All he's doing is saying, hey, I know you have faith in me, but right now I need you to show it to me. And that might sound selfish of God. That might sound, you know, a little bit jealous of God. But at the end of the day, he only wants the best for you. God only wants the best for you. Jesus sacrificed himself because he wanted the best for us. He could have said, not only do you have to have faith, but you have to do all of these other things to get into heaven. But instead, he goes, have faith in me, and all of your sins are forgiven. Have faith in my sacrifice. Have faith in the fact that God sent his only son down to die on a cross for us. At the end of the day, that's all he wants. He wants you in his house. He wants you to rely on him. When things get hard, ask for him, talk to him, have faith in him.
And I feel like I always relate it to a worldly relationship. But, you know, imagine there's a couple and the man is in the military and they live together. And as they spend every waking moment with each other, the love feels so alive, and they're so confident in their love. But the second he gets deployed, that's when it's really going to show whether she loves him or not. That's when she's going to have to, you know, not by a situation basis, but by her own heart, she's going to have to determine, like, how she's supposed to operate being in love with somebody, though they're not there. And if he's off in deployment and she says, well, I don't feel him close to me right now, so I'm going to go do my own thing. Like, how does that make our mind think about her? Like, does she love him? Does she want to be with him for a long time? Is she willing to sacrifice what she has for eternity for something instant? And that's the same way that we are. It's like when God is with us, it feels easy. Like when God is constantly communicating, you're communicating back and forth with him, it feels easy. But as soon as the hardships in our life happen, as soon as we fall back into sin and we feel distance from God, that's when it really shows how strong our faith is. Because let me start up by saying that it's not, this guy in my disciple group told me this, and I thought it was a good piece of information. He said, it's not in the Christian character to back down. And once you start to walk into the Spirit, that's when Satan is going to attack you. Like, if you live your whole entire life and you never connect to the spiritual world, you never get saved, you never try to save others, Satan has no issue with you. So he's not going to attack you. You are going to deal with worldly events and worldly transgressions, but you're never going to be personally attacked by the prince of the air and the fallen angels. But as soon as you begin to walk into the Spirit, in the beginning it's going to feel like dandelions and daisies, and you're going to be great with your Heavenly Father. But the more you get into it, the more you're going to realize someone else is out for you. You know, it's like, think of Blood and Crips, right? I love making analogies to, like, worldly ideas. So if you're not a Blood or Crip, you have no issues with the Blood or Crips. But as soon as you sign to one, now you've got a target on your head from the other. Yes, you're going to be loved by your assigned gang, but now you're going to have someone else out for you, even though you might not even care that they are. And through my investigation, what I've noticed is the closer I get to him, the more I try to give to God, the more Satan wants to take away. And Satan will take away the fruits that the Spirit has given you. He will take away the joy out of your life. He'll take away just anything that's good in your life that you know is from God. If you let him, he'll take it. And the thing is he never comes as the devil. He'll always come as a friendship. He always comes as a relationship, an opportunity. He's always going to come in some other way. And one thing that you have to realize that I've realized every time we get far from God, there's always that puzzle piece. There's always that piece that got removed by somebody along the line. And in the Bible, he says, "You were doing so well, who has bewitched you? What happened? You were doing so good, you were walking with me, who has bewitched you?" And so, if this is happening to you as it has happened to me, don't feel ashamed. This is the nature of our enemy, and he's going to come for you. And if he's not coming for you, you're not doing something right. And don't give into it. That's the thing, is it's our nature, and we are inevitably going to give into the temptations and sins. But do your best. That's why the Bible says over and over and over, says stand firm. And it's a really hard thing to do. But once you can fully understand how powerful our God is, that's when it begins to make sense. Because it's like, okay, even though I'm feeling depressed right now, even though I don't want to talk to anybody right now, I still have faith that if I continue to pursue you, Jesus, that you are going to renew me. As that verse in Isaiah said, it said, he will renew your strength. So when you're feeling down and you're feeling weak, keep going, just keep pushing. And that's the hard thing. It's like when you're in the gym and you've been going to the gym for a while and you were feeling good in the beginning. And then suddenly a couple weeks in, you're not seeing results and you're like, dang, I want to give up. I'm not seeing anything anymore. I don't feel as good anymore. Now it's starting to become repetition. One thing you have to understand is, there's this guy, I do window tinting, and there's this industry leader, his name's Mike Norg, and he does a lot of business training. He's not, you know, he doesn't like always talk on like biblical aspects, but one thing he said that really stuck with me, and he said, freak motivation. He obviously didn't say freak. He says freak motivation. He said discipline. And he just keeps going in. He's like, I don't care about motivation. I really do not care about motivation. You should not care about motivation. Motivation is an emotion. He said, but discipline, like discipline is where things are born out of. So when you first come into the Spirit, you first understand Jesus is Lord and he is with us, you're going to have this overflowing joy and you're going to be super motivated to do all these things. But then that's going to wear off. The same way gym motivation happens or business motivation happens, it all wears off. Disciplined is where that difference can show. So your motivation's gone. You're no longer wanting to do the things you used to do. Now you're going to start to do the things you need to do. And you either are or you're not. You're either going to do the things you need to do or you're not going to do the things you need to do. And by not doing the things you need to do, you're, for one, neglecting the Spirit that has gotten you to this point, which sounds like a very condemning statement. But you have to realize Peter also denied Christ 3 times and that rooster crowed. So we're all, you know, Romans 3:23, we're all going to fall short of the glory of God. But when you understand nothing worth having is ever going to come easy, that's something I learned very early on in my career. And it also applies to our walk with Christ. You know, if we're going to have this extremely firm foundation, the same way that a smooth sea doesn't make a skilled sailor, you know, an easy life isn't going to make someone that stands firm. They never actually had to deal with anything. But we know and we believe that by keeping our eyes focused on him, that we're going to come out of this and we're going to come out stronger. And when you realize that all these things you're going through, when you finally do overcome them and overcome them for good, that's only going to be a part of your testimony. Allow that test to become part of your testimony. And when you share your testimony in the future, there's going to be other people that have been through that exact same thing. And that's That's like me sharing this with you guys right now. I've been extremely on fire for the Holy Spirit, and then it'll go away. And it's like, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, where did I go wrong? What did I do? Like, it's like, I want nothing other than to feel the way I did when the Spirit was satisfying me. But I feel like I went wrong. It's normal. It's our emotion to have those doubts. And just as the same way that the God of the universe is placing these things into your mind, Satan is also placing things into your mind. And people can do and say all these things to you, but nothing's true until you believe it. So when you have that thought that comes into your mind and it says, you're far from God, you've been messing up too bad, He doesn't want anything to deal with you, that's not true. But as soon as you begin to believe that, that's when it becomes applicant into your life. But when you know the truth and you stand on the firm foundation, you can say, that's not right. That's not from my God. And that's when you can begin to come back. But in the end, it's really just about knowing that He is Lord. And through it all, like, we keep our eyes on Him and we are trying to fight to come back to Him. The sooner the better. But like I said, things are going to take time. So when you're going through that valley, just keep your eyes on the mountaintop, because I know that God that stands on the mountaintop, He also has His eyes on you, and He'll leave the 99 to come get you, and He's chasing you. The moment you step away, the moment you begin to fall back into sin, just know that the heavens are after you, and they're not after you in a way to shame you. They're after you in a way to save you and to bring you back into the joy that you originally were born into.
Yeah, and that was actually a really good. That was really good. I think we'd be doing a disservice, though, and we kind of, like, we're on that, like, edge. If we talk about testing faith, if we don't go into the story of Job a little bit here, right? So, for anybody that doesn't know, essentially the devil looked down at what God called his most faithful servant. And the devil was like, well, he's only so faithful because he's so blessed, right? He was a rich man. He had a lot of stuff. He had, you know, a bunch of kids and everything. And the devil asked permission to tempt him and to take things away from him. And God said, you can do all of that, just don't kill him. So this man, overnight, head to foot, boils. Lost all of his kids, lost all of his crops. Things burned down, just, I mean, literally the lowest of low points. But never once did Job lose his faith. Never once did Job walk away from God. Never once did he turn his back and say, God doesn't love me. He just said, I have faith in the fact that God was able to bring all of these things into my life, and I have faith that there is a reason why He's taking these things out. Right? All he had known before was blessings. Because of his faith, all he had known was blessings. But he tests his faith. He had that little bit of fear, and his faith was tested, and he came back with a faith that was stronger than before, after having all of these things restored. He had his kids restored. He had his crops restored. He was healed from head to foot. At the end of the day, when things get hard, you can't lose your faith in God. You can't turn your back on Him. You can't stop leaning into Him. You can't stop reading your Bible. You can't stop talking to Him on a daily basis. You know, whether you're going through depression, whether you're struggling with alcoholism, whether you're struggling with some form of substance abuse, you can't turn your back on God when things get hard. That's when you need to lean into Him the most. When you feel the furthest away from God is whenever you need to reach up and say, God, help me. God, why am I feeling like this? God, why am I being tempted this way? God, save me. That is what you need to do. Those are the steps you need to take. God is never far away. God is a hand reach away. God is a breath away. God is always one step away from you. And it could be as simple as a head turn. Could be as simple as opening up the Bible and just to a random page and reading a verse and going, you know what, everything's going to be okay. Tells us, and there's a good verse on this. It tells us in Jeremiah 32:27. It says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? So at at the end of the day, is anything too difficult for God? When you're sitting there like, God, can you handle this drug problem that I have? God's looking down. He's like, I built the heavens and the earth. Yeah, I can handle that drug problem. That ain't no problem. Boom. Handled. Hey, God, I have this friend. He really wants me to come out tonight, but I don't think it's a good influence for me. God's going to put the thought in your head. He's going to be like, hey, that ain't a good problem. God's going to be like, that ain't difficult for me. That's not a problem for me. God, can you handle this depression that I have? God's like, I made man. I made every single thing you see on this earth. Yeah, I can handle that depression for you. When you reach out to him and you really speak to him as a father figure, you speak to him as a counselor, as whatever you need him to be, he's going to be there for you in whatever capacity you need him in. If you're having true struggles in your life, your needs you feel like aren't being met, God will point you in the direction of the fact that, hey, everything's going to be okay. I have a plan for you. Things may be hard right now. Things may not be the way you want them to be right now, but I'm here for you. You just have to talk to him. You have to open your Bible up, and you have to say, okay, where in here am I having a problem that somebody else in here had? Because I can tell you right now, there's over 1,000 pages in the Bible. There's a lot. If you can't find a piece of scripture that doesn't speak to you, that doesn't tell you that everything's going to be okay, then I'll convert right now. I'm telling you right now, that's not possible. God loves you. He'll never abandon you in the way he'll never abandon you in the way you think he will.
And the way he works is he'll take anything that you want to give him. But the key word is that you have to want to give that to him. Like, in the instances that I deal with where I'm like, okay, Jesus, I can't handle this myself. I need some kind of, I need some kind of help, right? I really need you, Jesus. And it's like, whether, you know, we'll say like, say you're having this alcohol problem and you're like, Jesus, I know I was once close to you, but I really need you to take this from me. He says, okay, I'll take it from you, but now keep your eyes on me and watch it happen. It's the same way with sin. Like, the more you try not to sin, the more the sin's going to win. It's like you have to revert your focus from trying not to sin to Jesus. Like, when they say the answer is Jesus and every answer is Jesus, it's like literal. Like, if you do not know what to do in a situation, turn your focus. And that's where it's hard, right? That's where it gets hard, because yes, he's going to take it, but you have to be disciplined. You have to be able to say, God, here it is. He'll take it, but you know, it's going to be hard. You know, he's going to tell you, okay, well, to get over this, you're going to need to give me a little more time out of your day, you know? Yeah. And for me, I'm on a very scheduled week. I own a business. I'm doing this and this and this. And I'm like, God, I need this one part of my life taken out. And he'll say, well, focus on me a little more. Give me another hour. Give me another day out of the week. And it sounds simple enough, but once it becomes into practice, you know, something always will come up. And it's like, okay, well, do you want to go out to dinner with your friends? Or do you want to sit down with me and do you want to try to work this problem out? And it sounds easy in perspective, but once it's actually happening, that's when it gets tough. Because when you're sitting in the pews at church and the preacher's preaching to you, everything sounds easy. You're like, Jesus, take it all. I just want to be with you. But give it 2 hours after that church service. Give it 2 hours of you back into the real world, you back into your home, you back around your friends, and then see where you go. So, like, the key to it is, for freedom, Christ died. But we have to walk into the freedom. And that's why it's such an honorable thing, is because it's Jesus paid the price to make it available to us, but you still have to do it. You still, and you don't have to deny the sin. You don't have to fight the sin, but you have to look at Jesus. And the thing is about the whole idea is we're human beings, man. We want nothing more than what we think is best for us. And like, when the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding, that's a hard thing for us to do, right? Like, all we know is what we understand. But to put the, you know, the candle on this cake, I just always think about, you can't fail if you don't quit. You cannot fail if you don't quit. So if Jesus has this promise for you, right, and you're failing over and over and over again, it says that the righteous man will fall, but he'll get back up every time. You know what I mean? We're going to continue to trip. We're going to continue to fall. The righteous man gets back up on his two feet. He looks at Jesus. He says, Jesus, forgive me. I'm back with you. Because that's the way Jesus wants us to operate. Jesus wouldn't reinstate us every single time that we sin if he didn't want that to be the nature of how we operate. So lean not on our own understanding and lean onto what he says to be true, because ultimately he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And like, if you lose everything, like Job's situation, if you lose everything, but you got closer to God and you walked one step farther into the purpose he has for you, you have won. Dude, that's a small victory. You know what I mean? One small leap. For whatever, you know what I mean, the moon landing thing. But one thing for me is it's hard to see like the importance of small steps, but he sees it, and it's ultimately all back to like the simple lines that he says, like, you know, trust in the Lord's plan. Like, he has what's best for us, and once you can just take your complicated, argumentative human brain, American human brain, and once you can allow that to be humbled, like, that's why I think the key to anything is humility. Like, if you're not humble, or if you're not allowing yourself to be humble towards a situation, you'll never get anywhere. You'll never grow. You'll never learn. You'll never turn from what is wrong, because we just so badly want to lean on what we know to be true. You know, we just got over the election, and you see, like, the two different sides, and it's like nobody wants to hear what anybody has to say. But when you really think about it, if both sides combined what is good and eliminated what is bad, we would ultimately have this perfect, you know what I mean, perfect party. Because you have one side that's like, conserve all laws and rights and this is how we're supposed to be. And then you have another side that's like, love everybody, let everybody do what they want to. When you think about it, like, yes, everybody, like, both sides do kind of have their flaws, but they both have the same kind of idea. But where is this separation coming from? And where that separation is coming from is humility. Nobody wants to like openly say, hey, you're right. You know what I mean? That's something as men, as human, we have issues saying people are right. And the same thing goes with Jesus. Like, we have a hard time saying he's right.
Oh, yeah. Something that Nick touched on, and I can leave off of this, is the fact of the matter is when you're trying to get out of something, God will say, okay, but spend a little bit more time with me. Your walk with God will be nothing but sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. And who's to say we shouldn't give it to him? I mean, God literally sent his only son to die on the cross for us after living a sinless life, a fully sinless life, to teach us lessons, and then go through all of that just to be humiliated and hung on a cross and killed and died on a cross for us, rose after 3 days. If God can make that sacrifice, God's going to expect sacrifice from us. And that's just simple enough. That's what it means to have faith. Faith is saying, you know what, God, you're right. If I don't go out with my friends tonight, and spend an hour or two reading my Bible, talking to you and praying with you, fasting, doing what I need to do for you, then I know that I'm doing what you want me to do. I know that you can lead me out of anything. I know you'll give me the strength to do what I need to get done for your plan. That's what it means to have faith. Faith is knowing that you'll be able to sacrifice, and that those sacrifices in the end will mean nothing.
But with that being said, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this podcast, guys. We just want you to remember that He is with us. He is always with us, you know, while we're in the valleys and while we don't feel or see or seek Him. He's with us, and He just is waiting for our attention to be back turned on to Him. And just when you're in those moments of silence and separation, praise God for it. Yes. Praise God for it, because that is where the faith is shown, man. Like when the Bible says that the faith of a man who has never saw will be held higher than Apostle Paul and the angels of heaven, think about that, man. Like when you really do not feel the presence of God, but you know He is Lord, man, that right there, that is where the value is found. That is where the strength is found. Hold on to that. That same hope that you believe is the same hope that we are saved by. So we just want to encourage you guys to keep fighting. Keep going, you know. It's not in our nature to give up. Don't give up. You can't fail if you don't quit. Thank you guys for tuning in on another episode of Young, Dumb, and Righteous.
Thank you guys. We all love you.